Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Tip Balls Podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And Uncle Sam, we are just, we'll call it 28 hours, right? What time is it?
Five? Yeah.
28 hours away from the Chicago Bears being on the clock in Campus Martius, 15 miles away from here. I think it's less than that, actually.
Yeah, in
downtown Detroit. We're excited. We're going to do some draft talk today. We have a mock draft coming up. We also want to talk some housekeeping news, some big extensions for some Lions. But first, let me introduce you to my empty chair co-host. That's Sam, who is out today. I think he'll be back next time. I don't know if we're going to run it Friday for sure yet, but Sam will be back for the next show. To the right of Sam, with the sunglasses on, is the one, the only, Uncle Sam.
Hello. I hate these lights.
And he doesn't have a camera set up yet, but I think you could still hear him, right, Bruce?
Yep.
On the decks, as always, on the ones and twos, is Bruce, the tugboat Venditti.
Howdy.
And then there's me, Michael David Palazzolo. Let's roll, Uncle Sam. What do you think? Let's get to the housekeeping, though, real quick. We had a massive morning. I don't know the exact time that it came out. Let me go through Instagram real quick, or Twitter real quick, to confirm that. But the Lions extended two cornerstone pieces, homegrown guys that they grew in the draft back in, I think it was 21, Brad Holmes' first draft. First-round pick from that year, Penei Sewell, number 6 overall, signed a four-year extension worth, I think, $120 million or something like that. I really need to have these numbers right.
St. Brown was 120.
Either way, Penei Sewell's contract makes him the highest-paid offensive lineman in the league, rightfully so. I'm excited for the future of this offensive line. I think that some of it's going to come with influence in this draft.
Well, you know them signing him means that Decker, this is probably his last year.
Yeah, there's a chance. And I know they've been talking to Decker. I know there's been open dialogue with Decker, but with age, and Decker had a rough year last year. I know he had a foot procedure on something that's been supposedly bothering him since college, and he says he feels great. I can't imagine they do anything long-term with Decker. But Sewell, it's a four-year extension.
Sewell's making left tackle money playing right tackle.
Well, yeah, but he'll move over.
They're going to have to push him over.
They'll move him over eventually. Yeah. This contract, like we said, pays Sewell the highest contract in the league. And then on top of that, some caveats, some housekeeping on that is that the Lions picked up his fifth-year option this morning, number one. And then on top of that, the deal doesn't kick in till after that. So obviously this coming year is Sewell's fourth year. He has a fifth-year and then that's when the deal kicks in. So the deal ties him here until 2029.
Got him tied in for the next 5 years.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's six. It's six seasons. And real quick, it was 4 years, $112 million with $85 million guaranteed. And when the contract kicks in, it's $30 million guaranteed in the first 3 years, which is incredible money.
But that, you know what? That's going to be going rate money by the time this kicks in.
It's
actually going to be a deal.
It's going to be in a month. It could be going rate money. In a month, there could be three or four tackles jump him.
Within 2 years, that's going to be a major deal.
So Tristan Wirfs has to get paid. There's a list of guys, but there's a whole slew of guys. And the timing on both these deals, we'll get to St. Brown as well after this. The timing on both of these deals is interesting from Brad Holmes' perspective, because not only is he taking care of his guys and he's giving them what is at the time the best deals on the market at their position, but these are bargains in literally a month from now. They're bargains. In 2 years from now, Amon-Ra St. Brown might be the eighth highest paid receiver. So they're bargains, and they set the market, and you screw over other teams by doing this. Now Minnesota has to pay Justin Jefferson $35 million a year, and Cincinnati has to pay Jamar Chase similar money. Yeah. And this all but assures there's issues with Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco right now.
Right.
He's going to ask for something similar to this, and he ain't getting that. So it sets the market, and it screws over your team. It screws over other teams. What are your thoughts on that, Uncle Sam?
No, I just think it was a smart thing to do. The only thing they haven't been able to do, which was kind of surprising to me, was not locking in Goff.
I think that's looming. They say it's not imminent.
But to hear that they're not close, that's kind of a little worrisome.
I don't think they use the words "not close." There's been dialogue, and Goff has said we're working on it. But one would think that the timing would make sense because you just got these two deals done, correct? Right. I know what you're thinking, but it seems like it's not panic button. Goff wants to be here.
They need to pay Goff. I don't know why they're fucking around with this. Just do it and get it over with.
They will.
Tear the Band-Aid off.
I'm sure what gets tricky with Goff is his age. And then where he fits in, this is his third deal. Yeah, what is he, 28, 29, somewhere in there?
Yeah, I don't even think he's near 30 yet.
This is his third deal that he would be getting in pro football. So I think it's just the language is going to be tricky. Where he is in the market is going to be tricky. Again, if you do it right and you pay him right, hypothetically, it should be a bargain a year from now, what you're paying Goff. I agree with you, though. It's something to keep an eye on. I do think it's coming. And one would think we were going to have that free-for-all of deals that were all going to happen before the draft while the spotlight was on you. But it didn't happen. Real quick, St. Brown's contract, which came in first, that one rolled in at about 11:30 this morning. That is a four-year deal with $120 million and $77 million guaranteed. Highest paid receiver in football. Again, I mean, they're
deservedly
two,
so. He earned it.
Deservedly. If you don't want to call him the best receiver in the game, he's up there. He checks off nearly every box. He's one of the most fun to watch. He's one of the best. He is the best blocking receiver.
Listen, you're a numbers guy. His numbers are as good as anybody.
They're incredible.
You look at him, his numbers compare with everybody else's.
And he's the epitome of what they do here and what they like to do.
He's a hard worker. The guy don't bitch.
You took the words out of my mouth.
He's not a fucking diva.
You can stop at hard worker.
Yeah, he's not a fucking diva.
He works hard every day. He comes in, he puts his nose down, and he sets an example. And he's the reason this culture is what it is. I would argue he's probably the most beloved guy in the locker room from a fan perspective.
I truly believe that the Lions' best player is Penei Sewell.
Yeah, same.
That's my opinion.
I agree.
He's the best player on the team. And
I agree.
You got to pay him. You got to pay your best players.
I think it's Penei Sewell as well.
You can't let guys like him walk over a few million dollars.
And
stupid.
Same drill. These guys are both from the same draft class, one overall, and then the fourth rounder in St. Brown. And I think this is the foundation. I think we are in the full-blown, I'm not going to call it a dynasty because they haven't won anything, but this is the culture.
Right.
This is what you want to do.
And if they can keep instilling what they're doing, I think that's the most important part, is to keep this train rolling. Because if you start to let pieces just fall off of it and don't replace them, you're going to be in trouble. So what happened in the Schwartz era when you were letting people walk and it was just – if you can't keep guys and keep reloading – You're never going to have a good winning team. You're not going to have that.
And that's the argument that I saw on Twitter today, especially from Bears and Vikings and Packers fans, because they're shaking in their boots because they go, oh, you know, good job. These players are good, but you had to give them all this money. Well, this blueprint has worked. It's worked for the Chiefs who are
able the Bears can't talk about anybody because they overpaid for two linebackers.
Exactly.
The year before they've been
overpaying for people for years.
Yeah, I mean, they got absolutely molested on some of the deals that they're doing.
So
and that shit
general,
will come to haunt them sooner or later here.
Agreed. Yes. Just in general, this is, like I mentioned, this is strategy, and these guys eventually become bargains, right? If
correct.
You play your cards right. And a lot of people are panicking, well, how are you going to sign these guys and then fill, you know, what are you going to do to keep the talent? Well, this is what the Lions do. They want to keep everything in-house.
Right.
They're more partial. Of course, Goff was traded for, and they've had some free agent signings here and there. DJ Reader this year. Last year it was C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but this is what they want to do.
Think about, you know, go back to Stafford's last year. Mm-hmm. Tell me that in Goff's first year where everybody thought that he was absolute dog shit and wanted him out of here. They're all fucking singing a different tune today.
Yeah.
You know, that kid got thrown to the wayside, sent to probably one of the worst organizations in sports.
Mm-hmm. To die.
To fucking die.
He was sent here to die.
And he came here and gave everybody the middle finger.
He was a throw-in.
And showed him his cock.
He was a throw-in.
And I'm all for that.
It was Stafford for two draft picks, and Goff was a throw-in to make the salary.
Correct. Card. Correct. Correct. And what? That kid did nothing but come here, work hard, didn't get to, I mean, he had every right to be discouraged after that first year here. If I was him, I would have went into the locker room, went to the hot tub and blew my brains out. But he fucking persevered. He came. He fucking fought through it. He didn't pussy out like Bruce would. He actually fucking went there, put his nose to the grindstone, and kept working. And he got better. Look how good he is compared to the first year he's here. He was here.
I would argue he's a top eight quarterback in the league. He might even be higher than that.
Yeah.
Some people are lower on him.
I think accuracy, he's as accurate, if not more accurate, than most quarterbacks in this league. Okay? Yes, he can't run. I get it. He can't move around. You know, you can roll the pocket with this guy. He does. Listen, he's deadly accurate. Dak Prescott would kill himself to be as accurate as Jared Goff.
Just piggybacking real quick, because we've talked about this enough, I feel like, just piggybacking off of what Uncle Sam said, the reason why I think a Goff deal ultimately gets done, and again, the timing's tricky, everything's tricky when it comes to Goff. I think it's going to happen. It's a fit. The player wants to be here. The team wants him here. They'll make the money work. I'm not worried. But Uncle Sam nailed it. Instead of coming in and blowing his brains out in the jacuzzi, for lack of a better term, he came in here, and similar to St. Brown and Sewell, he put in the work. He did the work, and that's the foundation. That's the culture. That's when you hear a Dan Campbell guy, or this is the football player we're looking for. I mean, it's also Jared Goff in that regard, and that's why I have no concerns about the deal getting done. I hope Goff stays as consistent as he's been since the second half of the year last year. I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. I do think Goff ends up getting done. And we'll see where it goes. But this is a big day. I mean, I think it wasn't a coincidence that it's Wednesday before the draft in Detroit, and that's when they announced these two deals. I don't think that was by design. I don't think that was a coincidence. That was meant to be. And again, there's strategy to it from Brad Holmes' perspective. Keep that in mind as the offseason continues, because now other guys in the league have to get paid. And your guys, maybe for a couple months, are the number one highest paid at their position. That's not going to hold. Brad Holmes set the market. Now he doesn't have to overpay for these guys later, and it's going to all work out. Trust the process.
See, every team in the league is trying to emulate the Lions right now. They're bringing in former players as coaches.
Yeah.
They're trying to find their Dan Campbell. They're all trying to do that. They're all trying to fucking emulate the Lions.
I agree.
Huh?
The Raiders already did it.
Raiders are a good example. I agree with
Texans.
You. I agree with you. Are the Lions perfect? No. Yeah. Have they won anything? No. But this was a really quick shot at success. It came in 3 years for the biggest dumpster fire organization in the league, in league history, essentially. Or at least in the modern era, in the Super Bowl era, there's been no worse franchise than the Lions. And they have a regime and an ownership group that turned it around in 3 years. So they might not be the standard. They're up there with the standard. And this is why it's going to work if you're panicking about giving these guys big deals. San Francisco had a ton of cap space last year. They had a ton of guys on big deals. Bosa, Trent Williams, McCaffrey, to name a few. The Eagles, people panicked for years how they're going to keep all these guys. They've done a marvelous job of keeping
them. Oh, Howie Roseman's the central GM in this fucking league.
One of the best. And yeah. And the Chiefs, same drill. How are they able to keep Chris Jones and Mahomes and Kelsey under contract? Well, this is how you do it. This is how you retool on the fly. The best way to do it is to keep guys in-house. You draft, you develop, you stick with that blueprint, and the Lions are... Again, I don't want to get carried away and call them the standard, but they're up there. And a lot of teams are going to emulate what the Lions have been doing for the last couple of years, for sure. You want a mock draft?
Let's rock.
So the deal today is we're just going to mock. We have a draft simulator up, both Uncle Sam and I on the phone. Me on the iPad, him on the phone. And we're just going to mock. We're going to go through team by team. I think we agree no trades. No trades, unless something makes sense.
Other than, I think there will be two trades in this first round coming up.
I think there's going to be more than two trades.
I don't see any more than that unless somebody gets really desperate and tries to move into the first round. A team like the Texans, who don't have a first round pick, you never know what they're going to do. They do have 2 second round picks.
And they have a window.
That they can utilize that.
That's the criteria for teams that are going to move up. If they have a window to win, like the Lions could be on that list. The Texans are a great example of a team on that list. I know Philly's supposedly going to be aggressive. I disagree. I think there's going to be more than two trades. I think
Philly's, you never know what Howie Roseman is.
You never count Howie Roseman out.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little bit more aggressive. Aggro, as the kids say, right, Bruce? That's what the gaming kids say when they're talking about Fortnite. Listen, my shot at being Gen Z right now.
Well, that's because they're just so high they don't know where they're at. So
I think
not Gen Z. So
Dan Campbell this morning had a great comment. He was on with the morning show, Stoney and who's the other guy now? Jim Costa.
Yeah.
Or yeah, I'm sorry. John Jansen and Jim Costa. Yeah. And Dan Campbell was on there this morning. Did I say Brad Holmes a second ago? I meant Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell. And he goes, you know, if you're going to end up with one of those top 15 guys in those top 15 picks, you're going to get someone good. And I think that this draft has a lot of talent. It has a lot of top-end talent, though. And in particular, it has a lot of offensive talent. And I think that there's going to be trades because teams are going to be aggressive if a Dallas Turner starts to slip or Jared Verse or Leatu Latu, the cornerbacks. If you see one of Terrion Arnold or Quinion Mitchell make it past the Colts at 15, I think teams are going to get really aggressive to start to call up, and I think that's where the trades are going to come in. And then there's the teams like the Texans and the Browns and probably who else doesn't have it? Oh, the Panthers are another great example. I think teams like that could get aggressive if a guy that they like, they don't have first-round picks, and if there's a guy that they like that fits in, I think they might try and jump up. So I disagree. I think there's going to be a lot of trades, but people always say, oh, it's going to be chaotic. The draft is always chaotic. We don't know what a lot of these teams are thinking. There's GMs that go into business for themselves and think outside the box and end up shooting themselves in the foot. We don't know. I think for the sake of this, let's not do trades and let's just pick as the team just to see where it goes and pick by fit. And then we'll take it from there. How about that?
Yeah.
So on the clock at pick one, they've basically been on the clock for 2 years because they traded it last year and it was kind of assumed that they were going to get this pick. But pick one is the Chicago Bears, Uncle Sam.
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
Quarterback, USC.
I don't think we have to debate it. It's going to be Caleb Williams. Ryan Poles, the GM.
I personally am not a Caleb Williams guy. I think there's other guys in this draft.
Why?
As good as him.
From a skill perspective, why?
It's not a skill position issue with him. I think he has some issues with what he thinks he is and what the NFL should do for him. And I think that's some stuff a lot of GMs and owners don't like. Now I'm not gonna down him for it. You go out there, you make as much money as you can get, but you're the consensus best pick in this fucking draft. You should conduct yourself a little differently. You know, you're an investment for these people, and if these people are to invest $100 million into you, you need to act the part. Be a mature individual. It's a National Football League. You're a professional. Act the part.
And just you said something that stood out the other day, and it's 100% fact in my opinion. I think Caleb Williams is going to work. Gun to my head. The reason I think Caleb Williams is going to work is, like I said, something you said the other day. The Bears have been very active in making sure that this works.
Correct.
And that comes from bringing in Keenan Allen. That comes from introducing him to the veterans that he's going to be playing with. DJ Moore's already there. He's met Cole Kmet. I think they're going to take a receiver
at nine. The kid is going into a good, good position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's it's not like he's going to the Jets with nobody to throw to, no offensive coordinator.
The best example is last year. Last year's a good example. He had no help last year.
Correct.
Not Caleb Williams. I'm talking about from Alabama, the guy that went to the Panthers. Name slipped at this point of the process.
Yeah. He listen, you win the Heisman, you're the best player in the country. You're going to get dealt to probably the shittiest team in the country.
And that's how it works.
That's how it works.
So Bryce Young flopped because they didn't – I mean, his top receiver was DJ Chark, essentially. Or
DJ Moore should have been his receiver, but he gets traded.
So that's why and it happens every year.
Yeah.
And Caleb Williams' father actually made a really good point during the offseason. He goes – the system's set up for the number one pick to fail. You're going to the worst team.
Correct.
So said player should have more say. Well, the Bears heard that, and the Bears did a lot. And trust me, no one loves to disrespect the Chicago Bears more than me. I think it's a really poorly run franchise. Ryan Poles did everything properly.
I actually love what they've done in the draft the last couple of years, the Bears. Because they're going O-line, D-line. They went to free agency. They solved their issues at linebacker. And free agency, and I just love what they've done. Wide receiver, they've solved their issues in free agency at wide receiver that they had. Mm-hmm. And they have no receivers. You had Equanimeous. That was it. Equanimeous.
We've talked enough about Caleb Williams to the Bears. Yes. I didn't want there's each team gets 10 minutes on the clock. We're going to try and go 1 minute going forward. Pick two. I know in your mock, you had the Washington Commanders taking
Drake May.
I had them taking Jaden Daniels.
I actually think you're right. I think they're going to take Daniels also.
Why?
Just because I think Daniels is a better prospect than Drake May. Nothing against Drake May. He's Mitch Trubisky. That's all I'm going to say.
Drake May, you're drafting for his upside. I don't want to say the Commanders can steal that division, but they could be players in the wild card. And who knows? Maybe they do enough with a culture change. That division's been very cyclical over the years.
Right.
It's gone Commanders, Redskins, whatever you want to call them, Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, and it's rotating.
They're Redskins. I think it's stupid that they changed it, but, you know.
A good example of this is I think the Giants won the division. No, it's been a little bit longer, but the Eagles won it 2 years ago, and then the Cowboys won it last year.
Right.
You know, your standard is the Cowboys and possibly the Eagles, but you could totally go and steal that division. You finished in last. So you're gonna
have an
easy schedule.
I don't think there's a team in that division that's really put together a really nice roster beside Philadelphia.
I think Philly's at a good
I think beside Philadelphia, I think Washington, because Dallas hasn't done shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think Washington has put together a really nice roster in this offseason, and I think they could be players in this draft.
And I like their staff, too.
Yeah. So Dan Quinn is going to have that Redskins defense top five in the league. And that's just Dan Quinn. I truly believe he's that good. Everywhere he's gone, they've been successful defensively.
They also have Cliff Kingsbury at offensive coordinator, which I love. I think that.
See, everybody forgets that Dan Quinn had the Patriots down in that Super Bowl, but the offensive coordinator fucking shit the bed in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Should I even tell you who that was?
All right, so.
Fucking garbage Shanahan.
Number three, the New England Patriots.
I think the Patriots are going to take, if he's there, I think they take Jaden Daniels. I think Daniels might wind up in Washington. This might be reversed. That's what I think. But either way, the Patriots need quarterback. Bailey Zappi's not the guy. He's a backup. And who knows where fucking Jones is. Where did he go?
I don't even know.
Is he even in the league still?
Atlanta. No.
Is he in the league?
He's in the league. He got traded somewhere. I don't remember where.
Yeah, he should be on the corner selling fucking hot dogs.
All right. Well, Jaden Daniels is off the board. So at three, you think they need a quarterback. The next quarterback available is Drake May. Are you going to go with Drake? Oh, and then, of course, J.J. McCarthy. But I think we're in agreement on Drake May here.
McCarthy's going to go later in this round.
So we're in agreement on Drake May?
Round. Yeah.
Number four, the Arizona Cardinals. Before we get going, they have an active GM that loves to trade. They have a ton of draft capital. We agreed no trades. Do you see anyone jumping up to four at this point?
I think so, but I don't know how much they're willing to give up to do it.
Let's just pick it then.
I think possibly the Jets.
And who would the Jets take?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay, do we want to run a fake trade and see what it would look like?
No.
Or do we want to give?
Even if they stand fast, I think they're going to get a really good player, so mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
All right, I think we should just mock Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals. Is that
correct.
What we're saying?
I mean, if they're picking there, they're taking Marvin Harrison. They need a receiver. Most of their talented guys are gone out of there. And I think this is the guy you put in there. Listen, they need to give Kyler Murray a legitimate stud.
They have two picks at the moment. They have 27 and they have four. I personally think they are going to end up moving this pick. I think for the sake of picking, though, we're going to pick it. At some point with one of these, whether they have three first-round picks or if they just stay with two, one of those picks is going to be a D lineman and one of those picks is going to be a receiver. If they stay here, which some people are actually staying, they might end up staying here now because the price is too steep. We don't even know. Monty Ozenfort, their GM, doesn't even know what he's going to do until he's on the clock.
Right.
But for the sake of picking here, Marvin Harrison is probably going to be the play. So we're going to go ahead and put
because
Marvin
Harrison he's he, this group of wide receivers, There's really three guys at the top, and then there's everybody else. And they're deep. They're deep at receiver. You're going to get a good receiver in the second round, in the third round. So, but you got a top three guys, and they're going to go bang, bang, bang. I believe once they start going, that's how it's going to be.
Worst case, again, we've already talked about this too much. This isn't moving as fast as I'd like.
Right.
Worst case, I'm with you. I think what they do is they take, if they don't end up acquiring the two picks from Minnesota or whatever, they don't like whatever deal, maybe they stand pat and take Harrison here. Or they take, well, no, you got to make it worthwhile, you got to take one of these receivers. It's going to be Harrison
or Neighbors. Harrison is the best player in the draft.
Or Neighbors could go here, too. Right. I could see that. I know they're high on him. I would take Harrison over Neighbors, personally.
I think Odonze is an absolute beast.
Yeah, oh, of course.
And that's why I have him going next to the Chargers.
What I was going to say, though, real quick, is they can pair 27 with one of their seconds, and I think they have multiple seconds, and then you can go up and get a receiver if one starts to fall. But Marvin Harrison makes sense. So you have Odunze going to the Chargers?
Correct. Just because Harbaugh faced him in the national championship game and seen what an absolute beast he is.
He didn't do anything against Michigan in the national championship game, though.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't do anything. Jalen Polk had a big national championship game. Odunze really
Odunze is a monster. So you've seen what he did twice against Oregon.
Oregon, different.
Yeah.
So here's where I agree and here's where I disagree.
Okay.
I agree because I think the Chargers have to end up with a receiver at some point.
Correct.
Where I disagree is I think he's going to prioritize tackle. Or this would be where someone makes the trade call for J.J. McCarthy, in my opinion. Once those three quarterbacks
are gone. I don't
see gone.
J.J. McCarthy going to the Chargers.
No, it won't be. No, I mean someone will trade with them. That's I think
possible.
They trade.
Possible.
And it's a scenario that I've seen like crazy. A lot of the beat writers have this, is the Chargers being the team to trade. And it could be anyone from the Giants that trade up to the Vikings to maybe the Broncos or Raiders. I've seen the scenario play over and over. Again, we're picking, though. We're not making trades.
Right.
I don't think this is how it ultimately shakes out, but I think if the Chargers end up picking at five, I agree. It's going to be a receiver. I also am with you, and I prefer Odunze to Neighbors. Most people, I just want you to know this, most people have Malik Neighbors not only higher than Odunze, but they have him higher than Marvin Harrison, a lot of people.
I had seen that. I personally like him better than Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. But I actually think there's even a kid that's upside is greater than both of theirs. And we're not going to talk about him because probably the last half of this first round.
Brian Thomas?
Yeah.
All right, so are we going to do Odunze here to the Chargers?
That's who I went with, Odunze.
All right.
And then I had the Giants picking next. And
Hold on. Before we talk about it.
Okay.
The Giants could possibly be in for a quarterback. I don't think they're going to do that unless J.J. McCarthy's there. I don't think they're going to jump anyone. I think they're going to pick at six.
Think they're still kind of locked into Daniel Jones at this point.
I agree. I don't think they are. I think they have to be. But I don't think they're thinking. They're based on the homework they've done on the quarterbacks, I don't think they're locked in.
And with all the kind of dysfunction that was going on with the Giants toward the end of last year, who knows where they're going to go at this point.
I think you and I are going to be on the same page here because their next
need, they got to take Neighbors,
is a receiver.
They haven't had a fucking receiver.
Not much to discuss. Not much.
When's the last time they've had a real stud receiver?
Odell.
No, a real stud this year.
No, Odell was a stud when he was
there. No, who's the cat that was there when they won the Super Bowls? Big kid.
Plaxico?
Plaxico Burress. They haven't had a receiver since then.
Shout out to Michigan State.
Yeah.
I'm with you. If J.J. McCarthy's gone, I think they go receiver, and I think it's Neighbor. Oh, no. No. There's a need that we forgot here, and that's tackle. Do we want to get in the Neighbors?
Well, they got Evan Neal last year. Evan Neal got hurt, so, I mean... You can say what you want to say about him. He was hurt, and he missed basically the whole last half of last year.
All right, I'm not going to debate you. We're going to go with Neighbors.
Okay.
Seven, the Tennessee Titans. Their needs include, it says wide receiver on here. I disagree, but tackle, edge rusher, interior lineman, corner. What are you thinking for the Tennessee Titans?
Okay. Tackle.
I'm with you. I think that's the top need, and they're going to get the top player at the position on the board.
They need to protect whoever's going to play quarterback there, if Malik Willis is still in the building.
So we've gone three receivers, three quarterbacks, correct. And a tackle in the first seven picks, which leads us to the Atlanta Falcons. And I think you and I are going to be in lockstep on this.
Go ahead. I will butcher his name.
No. I think no, because it's an easy name. So we're not in lockstep on this. And I will debate on this one because I think this is a lock pick when it happens if this player gets there. So if no one, if the top eight or the top seven shakes out with no trades, and I think the only trade that's going to happen is going to be for a quarterback or receiver. It's going to be for whatever receiver's left or if J.J. McCarthy's left. I think this is where the first defensive player off the board goes, and I think that's Dallas Turner.
So you think Dallas Turner goes to the Falcons?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I had them taking the offensive lineman to try to protect Kirk.
Which one? There.
What's his name?
From Penn State?
Oh, yeah, the kid from Penn State.
Olufashanu.
Yes.
No, I'm standing my ground on this one. I think this is where Dallas Turner goes. Okay. Eight's late for the first defensive player off the board. And Dallas Turner actually is, like, if you compare him to the last major edge rushing classes, if you compare him to last year's class in particular, he's up there, if not better than a lot of them. So I think he's a good get for Atlanta. I think they were already a defense on the rise. Raheem Morris is defensive-minded coach, and I think for that reason they end up with Dallas Turner. Are you good with that?
Yeah. I mean, I had them taking the O-lineman. I actually had Dallas Turner going to Chicago with the next pick.
Yeah, if he doesn't go here, he's going to go to Chicago.
Yep.
And I agree with that. I just think he's gone at this point. I think it's Atlanta. Thank you for not fighting me. Chicago, on the clock at 9. They still need a receiver, arguably. In fact, they do. After this year, Keenan Allen's probably walking or they're not paying him one way or another. That marriage is only meant to last 1 year, so they do need a receiver. But you and I mocked the big three already.
Correct.
So what are you thinking here for the Chicago Bears? It's a list of players that are available. Brock Bowers, Tyrion Arnold, Quinion Mitchell, Leiatu Latu is a pass rusher that they could use. If they want to go interior, Byron Murphy from Texas, Jared Verse, and your boy Olufashanu is sitting there if you want to get another tackle, which they obviously draft. Who'd they draft last year at tackle? They drafted someone.
He was actually one of the best tackles in the draft. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, is it the guy from Ohio State? I can't remember. Or no, he went to Arizona.
The fuck was his name? I can't remember his name.
Doesn't
to
matter.
Me, I thought he was from Tennessee, no?
Maybe he was.
Yeah, he was. I do know this. Dallas last year drafted the best D-tackle and best offensive tackle in the draft last year.
Listen, what are the Bears doing at 9? Their receivers are gone. Do you think
I had him taking Dallas Turner there.
The names still on the board are, obviously, we talked about Brian Thomas.
Tyrion Arnold?
I think it's still early. Tyrion Arnold is still on the board if they need a corner. I don't think the Bears need a corner. I think they're all set at corner. I'm with you on a tackle. I think that the Bears could use a tackle here. And what are you thinking? Any pushback on that?
The kid from Oregon.
Yeah, but also we still in our mock, I have Olufashanu still sitting there. So who are you taking? Fashanu or are you taking Fuyaga?
Fashanu.
Okay. So at 9, we're going with Olufashanu to the Chicago Bears. 10 is the New York Jets. I think this is a very obvious pick. I'm standing firm on this. Yeah, all right. Nothing to talk about.
Brock Bowers.
The best tight end prospects maybe ever.
In free agency, they tried to solid up and solidify that offensive line. They just want to give Aaron Rodgers another weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And this that will be a formidable receiving core in New York, with Mike Williams and Garrett Wilson, and you add this kid to the mix.
Yeah.
You're talking about a dangerous offense.
Again, I think this would instantly be the best tight end that Aaron Rodgers has ever had, and that's saying a lot. And, yeah, coupled with Williams and coupled
And you know how Aaron Rodgers loves Wilson. Tight ends. He will make this kid a fucking superstar.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then same drill, when the Aaron Rodgers era is over, whenever it ends, because they're going to be due for a quarterback.
Right.
Whoever comes in, I mean, I don't know if Mike Williams is going to be. Was that a long-term deal that he signed, Mike Williams?
I want to say it was 2 years. But
I need Sam here to do the research. Either way, there's a good pass-catching core that would be coming in for whoever plays quarterback there next. Okay, at number 11, the Minnesota Vikings. They did not trade up because, again, we are not doing any trades. J.J. McCarthy is still there, but
that's who they take.
They could be – hold on. They could be thinking maybe we can get him at 23, or maybe we could take 23 and pair it up. And in the meantime, they could go get another need, which are they need an edge rusher. They obviously lost Danielle Hunter. They need a cornerback. They haven't had an elite DB since – oh, I don't know. I mean, they got Harrison Smith there, but an actual elite – lockdown corner, Xavier Rhodes. Do they take a corner or an edge rusher here? Tyrion Arnold, Quinton Mitchell on the board.
I got J.J. McCarthy here.
I'm not going to fight
you. You can't go into the fucking season with what they got.
I'm not going to fight you because I think that if this shakes out the way that this goes out, if they don't have to pair 11 and 23 to go get a quarterback, and a quarterback doesn't have to mean J.J. McCarthy in the top five. It can mean going to three to get Drake May. It could be going to four to take – regardless, I think that if a quarterback, which it would be J.J. McCarthy, is there at 11, that you're already playing with house money. You still have a second first-round pick to work with. I'm with you that they should take him here. All right, at 12, we have the Denver Broncos, who needed a quarterback. Quarterback is gone. They also need an edge rusher. They need a DB as well, a tight end, the best tight ends off the board.
Well, they also just signed a quarterback this week, so
that doesn't count. I'm not counting it. If we're humoring, obviously the next two quarterbacks on the board, which some people don't have first round grades on them, are Michael Penix and Bo Nix. They've been linked to both of those quarterbacks. Do you see a scenario where the Denver Broncos take Michael Penix or Bo Nix at 12?
I doubt it. Okay. No, I think the best DB comes off the board here.
Okay, and who is your best
Tyrion DB? Arnold from Alabama.
I'm not going to debate it.
He comes off the board here.
I'm not debating it. Tyrion Arnold. At 13, the Oakland – whoops. The Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
Their needs are tackle, quarterback, corner. They also need an interior lineman. You can make the case they need a receiver. What are you thinking here?
I'm thinking Quinion Mitchell. Corner from Toledo, the second best corner in the draft.
So I think so. This pick, if they don't go with Penix or Nix, which they're not, I don't think they're going to.
They're not going.
I think there's a scenario where they trade back in, and the same holds for Denver. I think there's a scenario where they trade back in and get aggressive to get one of those guys, so you get a little more value and it doesn't cost you as much. It's happened. Kenny Pickett was someone that went
right.
Late.
If they're going to trade back, Lamar Jackson, it's going to be toward the end of the first round.
Yeah,
and this is where those teams with the last five picks of this first round, they're going to be playing with house money.
So
big time.
Here's the thing. Why are you going with a corner? They need a tackle.
Because there's a ton of
tackles here. So
well, their offensive line did not play bad last year. Their issues were they had some dysfunction going on in the front office where I think they, as soon as they made their thing in getting the coach that was there out of there, they actually look like a fucking different team the last 3 to 4 games of the year. And I think they need help in their secondary. Their front end of their defense is going to be very good this year. And I think the back end, if you can solidify that back end, because they did lose a few guys in free agency on their back end, they need to replace.
And I'm
That's
sold.
Why I went with Quinion Mitchell there.
I'm sold. And again, I'm trying to keep this short, but one of the things I like about Quinion Mitchell is I think he's a Raiders guy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he fits with Antonio Pierce. He's gritty. He hits hard. He's got good ball skills. He's big in the run game. And I think he fits the black and white Raiders defense. So I'll go with Quinion Mitchell. I'll humor you on that one.
Okay.
14, the New Orleans Saints. And their needs would be tackle, possibly wide receiver, edge rusher, interior defensive lineman, maybe tight end, maybe corner. There's a lot of good players at the first two of the first three positions I named, though. There's a lot of good tackles on the board, and there's a lot of good edge rushers on the board. I don't think they're going to overthink this, and I think they should pick a tackle. What do you think?
I agree.
The best one, do we? I think we have the best one on the board.
Go ahead, I can't say his name.
Fuaga, Talisa Fuaga.
Oregon State.
All right, Talisa Fuaga from Oregon State to the New Orleans Saints. At 15, we have the Indianapolis Colts. And in real time, I think they could be a candidate to trade, and I think that could go both ways. I think they could trade up for a receiver. I also think that if the board shakes out a certain way, that they could trade out of 15. We're not having trades here. So, again, their needs are corner, wide receiver, tight end, and edge rusher. I don't see elite talent unless they reach for McKinstry or Cooper DeJean.
Right.
I don't see elite talent at either of those two positions. They could go Brian Thomas here. I think that edge rusher stands out because there's still some really good Jared Verse or Laiatu are still on the board. What do you think? Do you want to give them one of those corners?
Jared Verse over him.
So, I mean, no, just, okay, if you're going with a DN, you're going to go with Jared Verse. But do you think they're going to pick a corner or receiver here?
I was actually looking at Coleman on this one. Either Coleman or Brian Thomas.
Like Keon Coleman?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick.
Kind of hard to believe, no?
It is for me. It is for me. And I saw his name trending on Twitter this morning, and I actually went back, and I had three references to Keon Coleman when he had a monster game in September. He had another monster game in October. And selfishly, I want the Lions to draft him because he fits the mold. We'll talk about that later. I could see Brian Thomas going here.
Yeah. He's a stud.
I think we should give them a DN, though, because they're going to get good value at 15. They're going to get a really good pick at DN.
Okay.
So we're going Jared Verse over Laiatu, correct?
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
16, the Seattle Seahawks. Edge rusher, tackle, interior defensive line, interior offensive line. I think the secondary set. What do you think? Let's focus on tackle, just because these are good positions that are available. Right. Let's focus on tackle or edge rusher. Which one would you pick here for the Seahawks?
I would say tackle. Because they had a lot of injuries last year. If you remember, their two starting tackles that were rookies prior were both out. Missed most of the year last year.
The five names that are still on the board, and there's some really good ones. The first two I'm going to name could play tackle and guard. The third one's raw, but he's athletic as all hell. And I know you're big on the last two. But we have J.C. Latham, Troy Fautanu, Amaris Mims, Tyler Guyton, and Jordan Morgan. I think we should focus on the first three names that I said, which are J.C. Latham from Alabama, Troy Fautanu from Washington.
I think they take him.
I agree. Yeah. All right,
he's a beast.
We're done talking. Not only that, Fautanu played at Washington. He played in Seattle for college ball. You heard me reference it last week. He was the main component of the Joe Moore Award winning offensive line in college football last year. For those that don't know, the Joe Moore Award, it's a recent award. It goes to the best offensive line in football. Washington won it last year. Michigan won it the 2 years before that. They won it two years in a row, actually. I think Fautanu fits perfectly here, and I'm with you. I am with you. So at 17, that leaves the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their needs are corner, receiver, and edge rusher. I see a scenario where they do take an edge rusher here. I think that pending how corner shakes out, I think they could go corner. This might be the Brian Thomas pick, though, because all of a sudden they have a glaring need at wide receiver. I'll let you decide what direction we go. Receiver, corner, edge rusher. What do you think? Oh, they also need an interior lineman, and Byron Murphy from Texas is still on the board, and I could see him going.
I think they're going to go edge.
Really?
Yeah.
That leaves Laiatu.
Well, Josh Allen's gone.
Mm-hmm. No, he resigned.
Josh, I thought he left.
He resigned, yeah. Oh. Or they tagged him with the intention of resigning him, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. They still have Trayvon Walker.
Listen, you got to go O-line here. You got to protect this guy.
They could do that.
He took a beating last year.
Let's go. So for offensive line.
Am I wrong there?
Yeah, they lost some quarterbacks.
He took a fucking beating last year.
They lost some quarterbacks. I just think they have more pressing needs, personally. But I could see it, and that's a need. And you could cement some things for the future. Who's the other guy they have? Robinson? They have an offensive tackle already, don't they?
They drafted one last year. Or no, the year before last they drafted.
I thought the year before that was Trayvon Walker, though. Who went number one
Trayvon
overall.
Walker went one overall to them.
But they took someone later at tackle? Is that what you're saying?
No, that offensive tackle. They need offensive tackle. I don't think they've taken anybody since Robinson in the first round, no?
Okay, so at tackle we have J.C. Latham. We have Amaris Mims.
I got Latham going there.
And what I like about Latham, and he's someone that I mentioned earlier, the Lions, that might be able to take a flyer on him. Latham can play four positions on the line. Yeah. He's an anchor on the right side. He had a decent year this year, and he's pretty young. I'm fine with that. 18, the Cincinnati Bengals. And
here's your little edge rusher here from UCLA going there.
I think
that kid's a beast.
I'm going to fight you on this one. I think they need a tackle.
Really? Yeah. I think they need to get edge rusher because the two guys that they got there are older, and they can't keep paying this money out for these guys.
We can go edge. That would leave Leiatu.
That's just my opinion, because sooner or later, that one guy that they're paying astronomical money for that they had gotten from the Saints, what's his name?
It's not Sam Hubbard right now.
No, the other one. Not Hubbard.
I know you're talking about.
Hubbard they had drafted, actually, mm-hmm. but that the one kid that they got from the Saints, and they paid a lot of money. Hendrickson. Yeah, they paid him a shit ton of money.
All right, so Leiatu.
Yep.
The Los Angeles Rams and their needs include edge rusher, interior defensive lineman, corner, and tackle. For me, I have an obvious guy at Stanford.
This is your defensive tackle here.
Yeah, Byron Murphy. Correct. From Texas. And this is a guy that I could see teams sliding up for if he falls outside of 12. I could see teams trading up. But I'm with you. I'm going to go with Byron Murphy there. So that leaves the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20.
This is going to surprise you here.
Go ahead.
Brian Thomas, the receiver for LSU.
I just got a text that Trey Hendrickson, as we were talking about him.
Hendrickson.
Higgins and Trey Hendrickson have both requested to be traded from the Bengals.
Oh, wow.
So the rumor is that the Steelers they're trying to make a play for Brandon Ayuk. We talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I've also heard rumors that they might try and trade up to see if they can get someone. In this scenario, it doesn't end up working out. And I could see Brian Robinson going here. So I will go ahead. Brian Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU, going here. Miami Dolphins. D-line, tackle, edge rusher, interior offensive line, receiver, corner. They could go a number of ways. I think I would go, if I were them, I would go with an offensive lineman. That's just my opinion. I think that more offensive linemen than we mocked a few of them there in a row.
Well, they lost their Pro Bowl guard. But I don't think that's the offensive line is what hindered them last year. The defensive line was so decimated by the time they were trying to make their playoff run. They were plucking guys off the street. I got to take a Chop Robinson here with that pick. With that pick at 21.
Okay. I'm not going to debate it.
Just because he's an athletic guy. I'm not saying that he's going to be as good as his predecessor that went to Dallas, but that's who they're comparing him to.
22, the Philadelphia Eagles. Tackle, corner, edge rusher, wide receiver. Some names that are still on the board. Cooper DeJean is still there. Amaris Mims from Georgia. Nate Wiggins, one of the fastest players at the combine at cornerback from Clemson. Johnny Newton, interior lineman, defensive lineman from Illinois. Graham Barton, the do-it-all utility offensive lineman from Duke. Kool-Aid McKinstry's there. What do you think their most pressing need is? And then we'll pick one of those guys, I think.
Howie Roseman doesn't draft for need.
I think that with the way this draft is, though, with that they think they can – they were aggressive in free agency, and they think they can get back to the promised land. They think they can get back to the Super Bowl, in which case you should be making a pick.
Here's something that I'm going to throw at you here. Look out for this, because Howie Roseman's been known to do some really fucking weird shit. If they were to move up to 10 and grab Brock Bowers, the tight end, that could happen. But if they stay fast and they're going to stay at this position, they're gonna take a corner. And I think it's McKinstry. He fits their mode.
Okay. Cooley McKinstry. I think they're going to ultimately take a corner as well. Yeah. And that makes sense to me. Minnesota Vikings at 23. They didn't have to get rid of this pick.
Right.
And they need either an edge rusher, a corner, a D-lineman.
Like you said, they need secondary. Cooper DeJean.
Okay. At 24, the Dallas Cowboys, who need a lot of everything at this point, even mainly offensive line. I think offensive line would be the play. And there's still some good tackles on the board and some interior guys. At tackle, they have Amaris Mims, Tyler Guyton, and Jordan Morgan. I think those are the big three there. And then all three of the big interior linemen are there. Graham Barton, who we've mentioned, he's going to be a center or guard in the pros. Jackson Powers Johnson, who also same drill, probably a center in the pros. And then West Virginia's Zach Frazier. Do you want to go interior or outside?
I'm going to go out. Mims. I say it's going to be Amaris Mims.
Amaris Mims from Georgia. The Green Bay Packers are on the clock. Tackle, corner, interior. Personally, I think there's a guy that's a perfect fit here, and he's a good replacement for Bakhtiari. I mocked him in my other draft. I think he makes sense here, and he's an interior guy. Do you know who that is?
No.
Graham Barton from Duke, I think, fits.
Like him. I really like him. He's actually a Lion guy, a grit guy.
We're in agreement, though, that they're likely thinking offensive lineman here.
Correct? If not, they go corner here. One of the two.
At 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they got some pretty pressing needs at edge rusher, cornerback, and interior offensive lineman. Again, there's some good interior guys here, and you can get great value on them. I do think they ultimately go defense here, though.
Okay.
And that would leave edge rusher or corner. At corner, you still have Nate Wiggins.
Right.
If they want, they can go Johnny Newton, Jershon Newton from Illinois. At edge, like I mentioned,
well, I think their interior defense is actually pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they're going to do something, it'll be that secondary because they've lost some pieces there. So I think the Nate Wiggins thing makes sense.
Okay. Let's go Nate Wiggins, who is blazing fast in the draft. I don't know if he entirely fits. Well, that's not true because they do run a lot of zone defense down there.
Yes.
So it could make sense because they have a good enough back end in the secondary. They've got great safeties. I like that idea of a corner and best available. That'd be a good coup for them if Nate Wiggins was sitting there. That'd be a great
if he's there.
Yeah.
If he's there.
At 27, the Arizona Cardinals, I think they desperately need a D lineman, and I think there's a guy that stands out a lot at this point. He's the best D lineman. I mean, we could talk about it. We can go over it. Are we in agreement that D lineman's probably the play here for them?
Probably.
So for edge rushers, we still
Jonathan
have
Gannon's a defensive minded guy. So
mm-hmm. I'm with you,
Darius Robinson.
So I think this is where Jershon Newton ends up going.
Okay.
I think he. So a team might even trade up for him at this point because he, again, for those that don't know his story, he injured his leg in the draft process and he wasn't able to work out. He's able to do that now. He's going to be fine by training camp. But this guy was a massive disruptor for down defensive linemen. He can rush the passer from the inside. He's really good against the run.
I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah, and Illinois has had this reputation for the last 3 years of there's some freaks. Just here alone, we have Kirby Joseph went to Illinois.
Yep.
Last year, it was Devin Witherspoon. Like, there's some studs that have been coming out of Illinois on the defensive side of the ball. I think
who's
Newton,
their coach there? The dude who used to be at
Wisconsin. Yeah, Brett Bielema.
Yeah. He looks weird, dude. Every time I see this guy, he changes.
His face is always red.
I don't know if he
sunglasses.
He must
tan.
Drink too much or smoke too much dope.
His hairline goes back and then it goes.
It's like somebody
and
else
and
I
forward.
Know.
I'm with you. Let's go with Jershon Newton, Johnny Newton, which leaves the Buffalo Bills at 28. I think that there's an obvious need for the Bills. It's pass catcher.
Yes.
I think that the Bills are a prime candidate to trade up. I don't know if they're going to end up getting into that top 10 to get one of those big three. They're going to be aggressive for Brian Thomas, I think, when the time comes. I just don't think he's going to be there. The best receiver still left on the board for me is A.D. Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell from Texas, Xavier Worthy from Texas. I could see Ladd McConkey from Georgia going here. Personally, I think they're going to go with a bigger guy. And to me, that equates with A.D. Mitchell. Do you agree with that?
I had Worthy on there because he's just blindingly fast.
Let's do Worthy.
Somebody for Josh Allen to just chuck it up because that's what he does.
And maybe they might try and avoid that and in turn draft his teammate, Xavier Worthy. So I will agree.
Everybody
with
said
you on that
about everybody was saying that shit last year about the kid from Philly. Kid that went to Philly.
Yeah.
Same thing. Uncoachable. Carter. Yeah, Carter and all his issues.
And we knew it would work out for Philly, and it did. Correct. That leaves the Lions at 29, and again, we don't know what they're going to be thinking. I think they could go a number of ways with this pick. Again, no trades. I think that ultimately the Lions end up trading forward if the right guy is there, or they end up yielding more picks by trading out. We're not doing trades. I have a guy that I know they're going to draft if he's there. But I want to hear what you have to say first. Go ahead.
If Darius Robinson's there, I think they take him. If they're picking there.
I had him mocked there.
Yeah.
Just what I've heard over the last week is they're really thinking offensive line. I think signing Sewell today is an indicator of that.
There's, I like the Powers kid. He's a top five pick.
I think that's where we should go.
In another draft, he's a top five pick.
There's a rumor going around, and it's not really a rumor. Like, it was up for debate this year that Frank Ragnow might be done. If you draft Jackson Powers Johnson, he could play anywhere in the interior. So if you lose Zeitler at some point this year, if you lose Glasgow, he can plug in and play perfectly. He's a Dan Campbell guy. He's hard-nosed. He's aggressive. He's good in all facets. He's a great pass great in pass protection. He's great in run protection. He's outstanding. I think that Jackson Powers Johnson.
It's either him or Barton. Yes. They're going to go interior line.
I have Barton gone. Supposedly, they're extremely high on Zach Frazier from West Virginia. So I could see him. They would be reaching for him here. Carte blanche for Brad Holmes. He could reach for a guy.
We already know he reaches for guys. So it doesn't matter.
I think that this makes sense. I think we're in agreement, right? Jackson Powers Johnson. At 30, the Baltimore Ravens, who need tackle help, receiver help, corner help, edge rusher help. There's good guys at all those positions. At tackle, you have your boy Tyler Guyton and Jordan Morgan still sitting there.
My pick is Guyton to go there, the big, massive, run-blocking offensive lineman. Someone for Derrick Henry to just get behind and plow.
I'm good with it.
Yep.
Tyler Guyton. If you're still watching Dark Lumen, your San Francisco 49ers are on the clock and they need a tackle. They're certainly going to need a receiver because Brandon Ayuk is gone after what the Lions did today with Amon-Ra St. Brown's contract. I think that Ayuk is as good as traded. And there's a guy I think that fits at receiver, especially there's also, you know, I think that Jordan Morgan could fit here as well. I think that if the board shakes out the way it just shook out, though, that it's going to be A.D. Mitchell from Texas.
Okay.
Do you have any pushback? Do you think there's a chance they take a tackle here?
It's possible.
In real time, I think yes. I just think that if the board shakes out the way you and I have done it.
I don't know if they're going to be able to keep retaining all the first-round picks that they have on their defensive line.
Hell no.
So sooner or later, you're going to have to replace some of these guys because I thought they underachieved last year. They clearly had the best defense in the NFL and underachieved in the biggest game of the year. So I agree.
Okay, let's go. Let's go A.D. Mitchell. And last but not least, you know, we'll try and creep up just for – we won't talk about it. We'll try and get to Houston and Cleveland's picks as well, but we have to mock through it to get there.
Right.
In the meantime, at 32, Kansas City Chiefs, they need an offensive lineman – Juwan Taylor had a horrible year for them last year.
I think this is where Jordan Morgan
lost Duvernay-Tardif. I can see that. I think they go wide receiver here.
Do you really?
I do.
Just because of what happened?
No, that was their most pressing need last year. Yeah. Eventually, Rashee Rice came on. Eventually. We don't know if Rashee Rice is going to be there next year, though. That's the problem.
Right, we don't know if he's going to play football.
So there's still good value at this position sitting there, and I think that they have the luxury of doing it. No, I think this is where Ladd McConkey goes. I think this is where Ladd McConkey from Georgia
goes. He kind of fits their Andy Reid.
He's the do-it-all. He could play in the slot. If you want to move him on the outside, you can. He fits anywhere on the field. And they have
– I actually thought about him going to Detroit to pit him and Amon-Ra St. Brown on the field together.
It wouldn't shock me.
If a very formidable duo.
So they're similar players, McConkey and St. Brown. And then another guy that the Lions have apparently been very high on that they've talked to twice at this point is Roman Wilson from Michigan. It doesn't make sense to me because Roman Wilson is Amon-Ra St. Brown, and so is Ladd McConkey. They're very similar, all three of those guys. But if you're the Lions, like, wouldn't it be nice to have two of those guys? Two of those guys that you can't cover that can do it all? And Ladd McConkey was so damn stout last year. All 3 years, he was so stout, and he doesn't drop the ball. He's almost always open. He loves to create separation. He's better out of the slot, but if they want, they could line this guy out on the outside.
He played outside at Georgia.
He played all over at Georgia. Yeah.
He was primarily outside, and then you had the monster on the inside, Bowers. I mean, it is what it is.
So are you cool with this? Can I go Ladd McConkey here?
Cover these guys.
Can I go Ladd McConkey?
Go ahead.
We'll keep it going. We have a little bit of time to work with. Give us another 5 minutes so we can do the Panthers, the Browns, and the Texans. Panthers are on the clock with the first pick in the second round. It's going to be a receiver again. We're on a major run on receivers here. The one that they have been most linked to that makes the most sense, that they've talked to a lot, and they've told this player that if you're there in the second round, we're going to pick you, is Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
And he's actually really good, too.
Your boy Keon Coleman and my boy Keon Coleman is still on the board, and Troy Franklin, who is another prototypical X-tall guy, is still on the board. I think it's Leggett. I think they go with Leggett here. He's from South Carolina, which is right across the border. It's 5 minutes from there, even though he played at Columbia. High-character guy. We're good with this? We kind of have to mock through to get to get where we're going at this point. The next pick that matters would be 42, if I remember. Yeah, it's Houston at 42. So let's just do this real quick. Patriots, they need a receiver. Can we give them Coleman or Franklin? You pick one.
I would say Coleman.
Okay, Coleman. After that, at 35, we have the Cardinals. They need an edge rusher or corner. Darius Robinson still there at edge. Do you want to do that? I'm just going best available right now. Next, the Washington Commanders. They need a tackle. They need a corner or an edge rusher. There's a tackle that stands
Morgan.
Out to me. Morgan. 37, the Los Angeles Chargers, tackle, corner, defensive lineman. There's a corner that stands out there, and I know they're going to take him. You're going to hate it, but they're going to do it. It's Mike Sanders still from Michigan, who's still a top 40 player, and he's the best corner left on the board. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans, wide receiver, edge rusher, defensive lineman. Troy Franklin still there.
Their receiver room's actually pretty stacked, I believe, at this point. I mean, you got DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. You got guys there.
Where do you want them to go here?
I would say offensive lineman.
At tackle, Penei Sewell's cousin, Kingsley Suamatia, is there.
Yep.
And Zach Frazier from West Virginia is there. Cooper Beebe from Kansas State. Those are both interior guys. The tackle would be Suamatia.
Okay.
Do we want a tackle?
Tackle.
We gave them Joe Alt in the first round.
Doesn't matter. They can't have enough offensive linemen there. That's their big fucking issue.
Carolina at 39. Edge rusher, corner, edge rusher. We kind of picked through those. Corner, Ennis Rakestraw is still sitting there. You interested?
I actually really like him.
So do I.
If he doesn't go in the first round, I'm going to be honest with you, I'll be surprised.
All right. At 40, the Commanders, we're getting to that Houston pick I was talking about. At 40, the Commanders, they need a corner, an edge rusher, a receiver. I think they go with a receiver here, and I think they're going to go with Troy Franklin from Oregon. Are you cool with that?
Okay.
Well, no. Say what's on your mind.
It surprises me. Well, they got a pretty solid receiving core there.
I disagree.
Don't think so?
I think they have a perfect guy. In.
I like Dotson. Love Dotson. I like him, and of course. All
right, let's open it back up. So corner, edge, safety is on the board. The problem is the board hasn't really shaken out. It hasn't shaken out properly.
See, their defensive backs they're good with. I think they need to go old linemen.
There aren't a lot left. That's the problem.
But I think they need to go maybe interior. Barton?
So that would be Barton's gone. It would be Zach Frazier from West Virginia who fits the bill. Green Bay at 41, corner, tackle, linebacker. And there's not really a lot. There's a linebacker that stands out.
What about that kid from NC State?
Yeah, Peyton Wilson.
Peyton
and
Wilson.
Edrin
the guy's
Cooper.
All over the place. Right. I want the Lions to draft him.
Peyton Wilson. So the Houston Texans are finally on the clock with their first pick in the draft. I think they are a candidate that could trade up because they're close. I mean, they had a great offseason.
Where do you think was their glaring need?
Glaring need was probably
they had a solid offensive line.
This is weird, and I think they addressed it already in the offseason, and they could totally bring someone back. But the most glaring need is a running back, in my opinion, for them. And I could see them taking a running back here. I just don't think they'd get as good a value.
I agree with that.
Do we want to mark a running back here? That. You want to have some fun? Oh, no, wait, hold on. They have another pick in the second round, though, if I remember correctly. They do. They have another pick
right,
at 59.
Right, they have 2 second round picks.
59
maybe,
would make
maybe
more
not
sense.
Running back here,
mm-hmm.
but I could see them going linebacker, and I see them taking what the hell is that kid's name? Out of Texas A&M.
Edrin Cooper. So it's I kind of agree. In my main mock, which hasn't aged properly, I had Gershon Newton following there, Johnny Newton from Illinois falling to them at 42. There's another really good interior defensive lineman that's going to be here that I think I'm going to pick them here right now. And that's Braden Fisk from Florida State.
Yeah.
Who he looked really good opposite Jared Verse, and he also had a big year. And I think he could fit the bill. So let's go with Braden Fisk. Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
I could see one of those linebackers, Cooper or Wilson, going here as well. I just think that they're going to look interior because they're going to get good value in Fisk. So the Browns kind of pick far away from here if we want to work to it. But let me just skip through and try and get to the Browns. Wide receiver here. We'll go Carolina. I have Michael Penix going at 44 to the Raiders, for the record.
If they don't listen, I think the possibility of them moving up into the end of the first round is huge.
Totally agree.
To grab a quarterback, and I don't think they're the only ones that are going to try to do that.
Totally agree. Hold on, I'm working on some stuff here. I just gave Bo Nix to the Giants at 47. Right.
I could see them moving up at the end of the first round, too,
mm-hmm.
to grab quarterback. I just don't think that if you're not sold, if your top two guys are gone, Daniels and Williams are gone. I think all them other guys underneath them, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, I think they're all in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
Except I think by far Michael Penix is the best thrower out of those guys. But I could see teams moving up at the end of the first round to get into position to grab one of these guys so they could get a fifth-year option on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. That if they move, they're going to take the best player available and then move up with them second and third-round picks to try to get in to the back end of that first round to get these quarterbacks.
Cam in the chat, we had the Lions going with Jackson Powers Johnson, but we just did this live and it's just two different minds going at it. But I could see the Lions ending up with him. So that's who we went with for the Lions in round one. That being said, thank you for filling in for me there for a second. The Browns are back on the clock. They're finally on the clock. This
finally
is the last team
the
to pick. Their needs include interior defensive line, linebacker, wide receiver, tackle. You can make the case for quarterback. Some names that are available.
Masseuse, team masseuse.
Some names that are available are in-state prospect Michael Hall from Ohio State, an interior who I love.
I actually like him.
Rook Ororo. I don't know how to pronounce
that kid from Texas is a monster.
Rook Ororo from Clemson, who's actually from here. He went to River Rouge High School. He's a guy I could see the Lions taking a flyer on. Or Tavondre Sweat from Texas
He's
linebacker.
Huge.
And I did this in my one mock. Junior Colson from Michigan would be a steal here. Jeremiah Trotter. We had already mocked the other two linebackers. Cooper and Wilson are gone. Wide receiver, there's a lot of great names. Roman Wilson from Michigan. Jalen Polk from Washington. And the tackles kind of drop off. The next two names on the board are Patrick Paul from Houston, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame, and Kieran Amadije from Yale, who's a lot of people are really high on. I think they ultimately just go the best player available at those positions of need. And I think the player that makes the most sense is Michael Hall from Ohio State. You pair him with Myles Garrett, and I think that makes a ton of sense. Are you cool with that? Do you see any more pressing need for them?
They still have Darius Smith there too. So.
So that wraps it up on our end for the mock. Yeah. And it's going to look nothing like this, in my opinion. Again, I think there's going to be teams
moving all over.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a ton of trades tomorrow. Tomorrow in particular. And, of course, in the second and third rounds, there's always a lot of trades. But I think tomorrow.
The second and third round is where you're getting the value for your team.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get guys that did not. There's going to be some guys selected in this first round that we haven't even mentioned.
I agree.
That's what's going to be weird. And it's going to be some GM that knows something that nobody else knows, you know, like Belichick did the 1 year. What was that kid's name? Cole Strange.
How'd that
work? I mean, you're going to get something like that in the first round.
Cole Strange was a very strange pick.
That was a very strange pick, yes.
Just recapping, or excuse me, not recapping, but going over the schedule for the next couple days, I'm actually going to the draft on Friday. I'm going to try and make it tomorrow. I'm going on Friday, though, so I don't think I could swing tip balls. I think Sam should be back by then. I don't know what his plan is. So I don't know if we're as locked in on Friday. It might be best to just let the draft play out, and then we'll circle back next week and talk about everything.
I think that would probably be a good idea because there's no way that these guys are going to be able to commute from downtown to here to get this show done at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's not happening.
So I think maybe we should just recap on Monday.
Yeah.
After this is all done. We'll go through it. Go through it, see how far off we were. I mean, what else are you going to do? It's going to be a big thing. If you guys get a chance to go down there, go down there. There's probably going to be about 3-4 million people down there. I'm sure it'll be fucking absolutely crazy.
Maybe close to 300,000-400,000 people.
Yes.
It's going to be insane.
I think there's going to be a lot more people than what you think, dude.
Yeah, especially Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Friday, the weather holds up a little bit better. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be pretty chilly.
It's going to be 80 degrees Saturday.
Yeah.
There's going to be a shit ton of people down there.
Great day to have.
It'll be a million people down there just on Saturday.
The Tigers are back on Friday as well, so it's going to be – we almost had playoff hockey, too.
Guess what? Bruce is going to be so high Saturday. He will be so blue out, smoking his little weed pen, all fucking sunburned, red in the face, nose burnt, bald spot on the back of his head burnt. It's going to be amazing.
Are you going down to the draft, Bruce?
No.
No plans?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to get some people to go. You know, my friends aren't into sports. So.
I thought you guys go to...
They're not into sports. They're into weed.
I thought you go to baseball and hockey games all the time.
They like hockey. They actually love hockey. A few of them started to get in the Lions, but they're, you know, like every other Lions fan.
So let me tell you how to sell them.
Wagon all of a sudden.
Let me tell you how to sell them. And this is how anyone who's looking to go down there, if you're trying to sell someone on what to do, this is why you go down there. I said it on Wednesday, or whenever that was, on Monday. This is the craziest, biggest event we've had in downtown Detroit.
It's the Super Bowl.
No, the Final Four in 2009. And Michigan State played in that Final Four, which made it exponentially more crazy. It was the coolest I've ever seen downtown, was Final Four Saturday in April of 2009. Mainly, and the Super Bowl was great, but we have the weather going for us this time, and it's a new Detroit. Like, this is a completely different Detroit than when we had these events over 10 years ago or 15 years ago, whenever it was. It's a completely different city now. So it should be a lot of fun in that regard. You get to see a lot of the new buildings that have gone up. There's more to do. There's more to eat. There's more to see. It should just be an all-around good time. And on top of that, the NFL has done a lot to make sure that this event doesn't sink. There's activation everywhere, fun stuff you can do all over. There's food trucks, and they've shut down streets that don't normally get shut down, so the city is going to be safe and walkable. And, of course, it's going to be difficult to get down there, but
I do know this. The road crews are out in strength, and they're picking up every piece of paper along the freeways. I haven't seen the freeways this clean in fucking 15 years.
How it should be. Nothing better than cleaning up
the grass is cut on the side of the freeway.
Yeah, they're out there in four. They've been out there for the last 2 weeks picking up every piece of paper on the fucking grass. Anybody notice that?
Yeah.
In the past 2 weeks?
I haven't been on
that
part.
The only reason why I know this, because I fucking drive here and it takes me 45 minutes to get here. This is how I know all this.
Well, on that note, that goes for all of you.
Shit.
I think you should try and make it downtown if you can, especially, I mean, tomorrow, Friday night or Saturday. Saturday, I think tomorrow, excuse me, tomorrow's at 8. It's always in prime time. And then it runs, however, it's usually done, it's late. The first night's a rough night. The most fun day for the draft is the second and third rounds, which are Friday, which starts at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that first round is such dog shit.
Yeah.
10 minutes in between each
just
pick.
Just tough.
Might as well shoot yourself.
It's tough. You really got to love it. On our end, one thing I could see happening is I personally think the Lions are going to trade out of that pick.
I hope they do.
I think they're prepping for us to be ready for that. They've been saying the rhetoric from Brad Holmes and Campbell has been as much. So I think that's something that people are going to be waiting around, and it's going to get to pick 28, and their guy's not going to be there, and they're going to make a trade, and people are going to be pissed when 29's on the clock and it's not the Lions. But that's just going to lead to a fun Friday where if they trade 29, they're going to have more picks on Friday. And then Saturday starts at noon. That's where the draft is won, is the fourth through seventh rounds. That's where you get your depth. That's where Amon-Ra St. Brown came from. That's where James Houston came
Leon
from.
Leon wants you to go down there with him tomorrow.
I'm sorry?
Leon wants
not going anywhere
you
with
to
him,
go
dude.
With Junior and Russ.
Yeah, I'd rather, you know what I would rather do? Stick my ball bag in a fucking vise and squeeze it.
All right. There you go, Leon.
Anyways, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. You can find us on x.com at tipballs, Instagram at tipballs. Make sure you like and subscribe with us everywhere, YouTube especially. Please ring the bell. We're excited to have you guys, as always. Thanks for the questions, and we're looking forward to talking to you next time, probably Monday. If you're going to the draft, enjoy it. Have a good weekend.